We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in. Pray that you had a great weekend yesterday and that you are living in victory and that you've got your mindset. Last week, I was on my way into the radio station one of those days where it was really cold and windy. And I saw this one bird. It was trying to fly into the wind. It was headed north. And I mean, he was just flapping for all he was worth, and he wasn't hardly making any headway at all. And I saw some other birds. They had made it to one of those power lines, and they were sitting on it, and they had positioned themselves where they were facing the wind so that as the wind blew over them, it would come across their feathers instead of blow up underneath their feathers. They had positioned themselves properly. I know out in Oklahoma, you can tell when a storm is getting to come in because the cattle will position themselves in such a way, knowing that a storm is getting ready to come. Well, I believe that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we need to position ourselves, not just because a storm may be coming, but because we have had our sins forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been empowered to live in a different manner than we were before. And so here we are at, you know, we're still in the early parts of 2015. And I pray that you and I will be very determined about positioning ourselves in obedience, positioning ourselves not only in Christ, but also positioning ourselves in the body of Christ to a place where we are a benefit to those around us. So many times we are in America because we are a very consumer-driven society. Everything tends to be about the consumer. And I believe that when it comes to church, that we've got to have a different mindset than what the church is. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go out and, you know, have, you know, old Brush Arbor type things and all of that sort of stuff. I'm thankful for the comfort and all of that. But the house of God, you know, I know that you are very valued and treasured in the kingdom of God, and I want to see God restore spiritual and relational value in your life and my life and all of that. But in God's house, God is the most important. In a redeemed person's life, Jesus is the preeminent reason for existence. Paul said, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me." And so when we come to the house of God, we are there and saying, "God, how can I serve you? Now that you have forgiven my sins and you are the Lord of my life and you are coming again," that's what I was preaching on yesterday in church, is that Jesus says over and over, "I am coming again. I am coming again." And so because he is coming, because there is a time of accountability, there is a time of judgment that is coming. I was in my devotions last week and I was reading about how God was going to judge. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of people right now that they don't want to hear that God is going to judge us. And it is amazing. 7 billion people on the planet. There's not a computer that I am aware of that is powerful enough to be able to track everybody, and they may be able to track their actions on the internet. They may be able to track their financial transactions. They may be able to track their phone calls and their text messages and emails. And that's just the United States government, all of that sort of stuff. But I don't know of anybody who is able to track the thoughts and intents of every person's heart. I don't know of anybody who is able to track all of the things that you have ever done. But God loves you so much, and you are not a distraction to him. He numbers the hairs on your head. He not only pays attention to you, he pays attention to the birds of the air. And Jesus said, not one of them falls to the ground without God taking notice of it. So I want you to understand that God is very aware of where you are, what's going on in your world. And like I spoke about on, I believe it was last Friday's broadcast, that God is able to transform your world. He's able to transform your world because he transforms you. And so today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be touching on a few verses there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Today I'd like to thank Carla and Dennis of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical. If you have any air conditioning, heating, or electrical situations, maybe during that cold blast last week, you discovered your heater wasn't up to speed and you need that attended to, or right before that there was a heat wave that came through and we were having to run our air conditioner at our house in December. And, you know, if that's, you discovered that that's not working up to speed, or maybe you just need some minor electrical work done, or, you know, major electrical work, I don't know. Give them a call, 632-9538. Carla and Dennis, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and they can help solve your mechanical issues there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. By the way, I do want to make mention of tonight at 7 p.m. Will be our Women of Worth meeting at Merit Assembly of God, and they're embarking on a new journey tonight. And if you would like, if the ladies would like to come out and be a part of that, we invite you to do so at 7 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Bring a snack to share, and they always have a great time. So verse number 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. That's what the crucifixion was about. He did not go to the cross for his own sake. He went to the cross for our sake. He paid the price for our sins. If you ever hear someone use the word passion, passion in the biblical sense is very closely linked with suffering. You know, now we talk about passionate as some intense longing or desire or emotional response. But in the biblical sense, passion was very closely tied to suffering. And that is, if you were passionate for someone, you were willing to suffer for them. And folks, I saw a headline last week that said that there were, in the modern era, that 2014, there was more persecution upon Christians than in any other time in the modern era. You and I, we kind of live in an American bubble, if you will. We see some things that come across the headlines and you read about them on the internet, but we don't really experience the tremendous amount of persecution that other people in other parts of the world do experience. There are people who they're told to renounce Jesus or you're going to die. But there is persecution that is arising here in America. I read an article last week about a man who lost his job because he was not because of anything he did on the job, but because of a book that he wrote, a Christian Bible study book that he wrote for men, and somebody didn't like what he wrote in the book, and he lost his job over it. It's going to come to America sooner or later. And you and I, we need to arm ourselves. It says here in verse number 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. And so you and I, we have got to equip ourselves. We have got to prepare ourselves mentally. There are some people that go through life and they said, I don't want to feel any pain or any suffering. You know, then don't ever go to the gym. Don't ever. In fact, I can't think of anything that is going to be worthwhile in life that there's not going to be some pain or discomfort involved in the process. If you are going to move to a different house, there's going to be packing or, carrying things, moving furniture and all. Oh, no. I pay somebody to do that. Well, bless your heart. God bless you. One of the things that I have discovered in life is that the things that I have been the most personally involved in have been the most rewarding. And you and I, we need to come to that place where we understand that we need to be prepared for discomfort in the flesh because of the spiritual transformation that has already been our benefit because of what Jesus Christ did. Look at what it says. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. And that is, whatever happens in the flesh is only going to have a temporary effect. It is going to be very short-lived. Jesus said, do not fear them that kill the body, because that's all that they can do. But, you know, after the death of the body, there's God that we have to be accountable for. And the great news is time is not what we are really after. What we are after is eternity. Time is a bubble inside eternity past and eternity future. Time is this little window, and what we do in this determines what direction our eternity is going to be. Either it's going to be with God or it's going to be without God. I saw a video one time. I believe the guy's name is Francis Chan. He wrote a book called Crazy Love, and he was doing a sermon illustration, and he had a rope that was stretched all the way across, and that rope was signifying eternity. And at the very end of the rope, he had just a little bit of red wrapped around that. And he said, this little bit of red that you see here, that is your length of time on earth. Say, whether it's 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, however long it might be, that is your time on this earth. And he said, most people spend all their life, all this little red season, focusing on just that little red stretch, but they don't pay any attention to the eternity that is beyond that. You and I, because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for us, we need to come into 2015. We need to walk in 2015 as a prepared soldier, if you will. We need to have our mind armed, and that is, no matter what happens to this body, Jesus Christ has made all this worthwhile. goes on and it says, "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And, you know, that I believe is very important. When you look at what that is, it doesn't mean that if you've ever experienced a hangnail, if you've ever experienced, you know, a pain in your shoulder or a pain in your hip, that you have completely transformed and you don't. Listen, everybody experiences pain and discomfort at some point in time in their life. You know, either it's a broken relationship, it's pain in the body, it's pain in finances or failure at school, whatever it might be. Sooner or later, people experience pain. But that doesn't mean, oh, I no longer deal with sin. What this is saying is when you come to the place where you realize that it was your sin and your failure, and it was my sin and my failure that sent Jesus to the cross, and then we come to the realization that sin, the curse that goes all the way back to Genesis, that it is what has brought in pain and suffering and hatred and drunkenness and all of these other issues in life, that sin, that original sin, brought in all of this suffering. It says that when you come to that, when you realize that you have suffered in the flesh, all of a sudden it's going to change your attitude toward sin. It's not going to be something desirable for pleasure for a season. You will recognize sin for what it is, and that is a trap of the enemy designed to bring heartache, pain, suffering, and death in your life. And when we arm ourselves with that mindset, then we will no longer be choosing to sin and choosing to give in to temptation, but we will be choosing to resist it. Verse number 2, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. We'll talk about the first part of this in a little bit, but I want to talk about that last part specifically right now. And that is that in 2015, if you have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, then you are supposed to be living for God's will. We're going to get back into our study on the Lord's Prayer and write the part that we touched on, but not extensively because we did a study on it some months ago back in the radio program on the will of God. That this is what we were talking about. As a Christian, you are supposed to be, and I am supposed to be, living with a different purpose, living with a different will, living for the will of God. If I asked you, if you and I were to meet for a hamburger and fries, we were sitting there and I was like, tell me about you. What is God's will for your life? Could you answer that question? And because there's going to be a follow-up question, and if you know anything about me, you know where this question comes from. When I was in high school, I was applying for a scholarship, and the lady in the scholarship room said, "Well, you know, what do you want to do when you go to college?" And I said, "Well, God's called me to be a pastor." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, what are you doing now because of that call?" And I was left speechless because I wasn't doing anything for the call that God had. It was something in the future. It was something abstract. And that's where a lot of people live. They live with the will of God being something that is going to take place in their life in the future, in days to come. But I tell you that in that meeting, I was sitting at the end of the table. I walked out of that. By the way, I didn't get the scholarship. I ended up walking out of that meeting, but that was I got something better than money that day. I feel the presence of the Lord here right now. I got something better than money that day when that lady asked me that question. I wouldn't recognize that lady if she walked up and said, "I'm the one that you talked to at that interview table." I wouldn't recognize her. But the words, the question she asked forever changed my life. because when I walked out of that meeting that day, I was armed with a different mindset. I was no longer going to be procrastinating. I was no longer going to be putting it off. What I did, I can tell you, it was on a Wednesday when that question was asked. That day, I went home from school, and I filled out the application to go to college where I began my academic journey to become a pastor. It was at Oral Roberts University. I filled out the application, and a few weeks later, I was accepted. When I went to church that night, they were talking about a missions trip that the youth group was going to be taking that summer, and I filled out the application, and that was my first encounter to ministry outside of just my local church there. We went on a missions trip, and it forever changed me, because at that point in time, I stopped living for the way that other people were living, and I started living for the will of God. You might be, like I was at that point in time, 17 years old. You might be 20. You might be 30. You might be 50. You might be 70 or 80. It doesn't matter what your current age is. It doesn't matter even how much longer time you have left. It is this. Today, will you arm yourself so that in 2015, you are going to be living for the will of God instead of living in the flesh for the lusts of men? It goes on in verse 3, and it starts talking about the way the lusts of men. It says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles." He says, if you look at it, you've already allocated enough time to that. Now it is time to move on to the more important matters, and that is living for the will of God instead of living for the will of the flesh, the will of the Gentiles, those who did not know God, apart from the covenant. And it says, these are the things that we did when we were living in that lifestyle, when we were living in opposition to the will of God instead of living for the will of God. So today, as I read this passage, by the way, if you're wanting to know where it is, it's 1 Peter 4, verse number 3. And this describes a life that Jesus redeems us from. He doesn't forgive us to empower us to live this lifestyle. He delivered us so that we could live a holy and righteous life instead of in these manner. When we walked in lewdness, lewdness talks about sexual impurity, anything that is outside of one man and one woman being in marriage, anything beyond that, whether it's more partners than that, whether it's different partners than what God described, whether it's activities that are outside of God's definition of marriage, either before the time or whatever, that's what lewdness is. It talks about when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness. Yes, I believe that God delivers us from the ability to be controlled by alcohol. He does not want us being drunk. He wants us living a godly lifestyle. You've already given enough time. By the way, that's an expensive habit. You know, if you want a financial breakthrough in your life, let me encourage you to do this. Let God deliver you from drugs. Let God deliver you from alcohol. Let God deliver you from cigarettes. Let God deliver you from gluttony. Let God deliver you from all the excesses of life. Even if it's a hobby that's controlled you. Some people, are extremely passionate about their cars, and they pour all of their finances into their cars. You know, I'm a golfer. Some people pour all of their resources into golf or fishing or whatever. Allow God to deliver you from those things that change your sense of soberness or sobriety, properness. God will give you a financial breakthrough, and he won't even have to increase your paycheck to do it. Anyway, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Those are the things, and it says in verse number 2 that when we are armed with that same mind that Jesus has in verse number 1, that we should no longer live the rest of our time in those ways. And so today, arm yourself and said, you know what? I am done with that. By the grace of God, I am going to live for the will of God. Now, it's in verse 4, it talks about where we are in our current society. It says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They think it's unusual that you are not out there, with all of the sexual sin, that you are not giving in to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. They think it's strange that you're not going home and getting plastered every night, that you just move from party to party, and that you just worship any God that comes down the pike. They think that that's weird. And so as a result of that, they speak evil about it. You know why? Because they have not yet been transformed. They have not yet seen. They're not done with sin the way that I want to be done with sin. I want that to be in my rearview mirror. I don't want it to be a part of my daily life. I don't want it to be a part of my future life. One of the things I talked about the other night that I was awake and saw Creflo Dollar. He's look, he said, it's true. I was a sinner, but now I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God. Jesus is living inside of me. I have victory over that stuff. And so let's drop down to verse number 6, because the clock is almost gone here. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men who live in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And that's what I want to close the broadcast out with today, is that in 2015, if we will arm ourselves with the mind that that we are going to press on, and that we are not going to let sin dominate us, but instead we're going to walk in the victory that God has provided for us, that we will live according to the will of God. That's in verse number 2, but in verse number 6, but we will live according to God in the Spirit. You and I, we should be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We should be led by the Spirit of God. We should be walking in fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. And you and I live with a greater emphasis on what takes place in our spirit than what takes place in our flesh. Which is your spirit being neglected? You know, if I only ate one meal a week, you know, even if it was one unbelievable meal, my body would be suffering from the effects of starvation. Don't let your spirit be starved. Live according to God in the Spirit. Father, I just praise you right now. I want to thank you. I pray that the people that are listening to this broadcast, Lord, that we would not be passive in our walk with you, but Lord, that we would be armed in our mind. Lord, that we would be ready to engage the battle with sin at whatever point we may encounter it, because God, we're going to live for you. We're going to live by your Spirit. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without it. Speechless, and I so long to sing you the song you deserve. but it would be